Okay.
So I have to put on.
I'm ready to go.
I can push buttons.
That's right. He shouldn't hear me.
Oh, cool. We're on. Yay. Awesome. Okay. Hi, and welcome you guys to this last session of Build 2015. Really thankful that you guys could come out and make it, and I'm surprised by how many people are actually here. Rob and I kind of joked around a little bit and thought it was going to be us and basically just the janitor ready to kick us out at the end of our presentation. So thank you for all coming out. We're really excited to kind of share with you what we've been doing. My name is Lynette Reed, and this is Rob, who I just introduced. As you can see, I'm a visual designer. I've worked with a ton of developers in my life, and I have to tell you, I love working with you guys. You guys make everything that I work on great, and you bring the life to it, so thank you so much for that. And I know you guys work really hard, and you have to put a lot of effort into the things you do, you know, to create the experiences that designers want, or, you know, to create the experiences of, you know, actual apps that are produced. And, you know, just thinking about that, the space and all of that, you know, it's just the question of, wouldn't it be great if there was actually something out there that made your life easier? That there was something that you could quickly, you know, build from or build on, so that you could actually tailor the experiences that you're working towards or create those, you know, ideal experiences you want. I'm sure we'd all agree that we'd love to see that and have that opportunity as well.
Great. thanks. My name is Rob Cameron. I was on the Xbox team for been on many teams at Microsoft, most recently the Xbox team for 3 years, and I just recently joined the DX Career Engineering team in the Developer Experience Group. And what we do is we work with OSG to help solve problems for you and help make your life easier is our goal. Please do take a photo shot or scan the code and get the survey ready. We absolutely want to get your feedback. And in your feedback, please let us know if there are things that you want us to do or what templates you want to see us work on next. And we'd love to get your feedback. So please do fill out the survey. Just a tiny bit of background. As I mentioned, I work on Xbox in the app program, started with Xbox 360. So who's watched a media app on Xbox 360? Oh yeah, a whole bunch of hands go up. That's what I kind of expected. Most of those, the majority of those apps are built in with the reference app, is what we called it at the time. This app was built in C# and XAML. It was the first time we're building an app, bringing the app platform to Xbox. We had a very high bar, very focused design targets for what we wanted our partners to hit, and it was very successful. The next step in that evolution was the Xbox One. For Xbox One, we didn't do a reference app. We did a media app. We called it a media app template or media app sample. That sample is WinJS. All the apps we spoke about this last year at Build. All the apps on Xbox One are written in WinJS. We took what we learned from Xbox 360. And we evolved it. We made it more flexible. The media app template on Xbox One that the majority of the apps use as a starting point and then build on from that. It's an app. It has a good architecture and a sound design for sure. And we didn't add a lot of extra code in there. We kind of wanted you to be able to see the APIs and experience the APIs and then easily customize it and modify it. And so fast forward now to the universal Windows platform, and that's really where we're going to be focusing on for the rest of our talk.
So that leads to where we are today, which is the journey just begins with you guys. We're all in this journey together as far as what we're taking the actual universal Windows platform and leveraging it across the different devices. Rob and I are really happy to share with you what we've been working on and building towards, which will be illustrated in Xbox, PC, mobile, and desktop. But, you know, as we evolve and in the future, it'll be across all devices. So I'm really excited to introduce will the thing work for me? See, it won't work for me, sorry. is our Universal Windows Media Sample. And the really cool, great thing is that it is available on WinJS and on XAML as well. Now, what is the actual sample? What is entailed? It's basically a base app that you can leverage and use. And ideally, it's really just to make it easier for you to build on. Easier to get started, which basically means that it saves you time so you can get to the market faster. And ultimately, it means that you can create the amazing experiences you really want to. And it's not just for one group. It's actually created for designers as well as our developers. And we want it to be for everyone, all creators throughout the world. So what is actually included in it? First, I'm going to go through the five primary patterns that Jeff and Carmen had illustrated before. While we're going to focus on just one today, I want to let you know that we are working on trying to create the samples for each one of these. So in the future, you'll be able to leverage all of them across all devices. So today, we're going to focus on the hub as our primary control throughout the entire media sample. Now, it's one of my favorite controls, and the reason why is because it has wonderful flexibility, and it's not just one in one orientation, but two. I know previously before we had it in just horizontal, spanning and being able to, kind of pan through. But after getting much feedback from a lot of different groups, we actually created it with a secondary orientation, giving you even more flexibility and capability as far as what you want to actually leverage for your application. And in addition to that, we also have baked into it in the section hubs that you also have panning incorporated. So for an example, a vertical model that would have scrolling, you can have horizontal panning incorporated, and vice versa if you're in horizontal kind of page layouts. So it gives you even more flexibility as far as where you want to actually take it beyond that. In the sample itself, there's four primary pages that we have included in it, being home, gallery, details, and also the media transport control, or as I like to call it, MTC. It's just something I've learned to call all the time. So if you hear me say that, you know it's the media transport control. It also is included in the sample are 12 controls, which are the hub, the list view, split pane view, the push button, the media transport control, grid view, scroll control, combo box, flip view, text box, ratings, and back button. So now we're gonna literally pop open the trunk on this thing or the hood and take a look at what it actually the sample consists of. Okay, so home is really kind of your hero and should really entice a user, especially an app of this type where content truly is king. Home should be the one that kind of defines and declares what the actual app is. After a long research and looking around at different app models and how they're handling stuff, both internally and externally, we want to make sure you guys had the flexibility and opportunity across a home experience. So by net new as far as what the actual page displays, it has a lot of flexibility, but we want you to know that you have the ability to mix and match and kind of transform the actual page to best suit your needs. And if we take a deep dive and really look at what it actually has included in the page, there's the split view, of course, incorporated in it. We have list views, both in horizontal and vertical, as well as a flip view, or most commonly known as the carousel. We also added, in addition, an inline MTC, which wasn't previously incorporated in, but it looked like a great opportunity for you guys to play with that as well and have it in your system. So for easy access for your users to use. And then we'll jump into the actual demo to give you a look at it.
Six.
Okay.
Great. So here's the template running on Windows. And I'll let Lynette talk through the template as we scroll on down.
Okay, so on the top left quadrant, you notice that there's actual placement for branding. We want to make sure you had the opportunity to brand, accordingly. So you can choose to incorporate images, text, whatnot, to have that incorporated in. We've also added in the hamburger button, as it's affectionately been called throughout this entire Build conference, incorporated in there too. We also have the horizontal listed as My Cues currently in here, as well as a See All for you to have kind of like a spillover of content, which would take you to a details page or a gallery page or whatnot, depending on your need and how you want to place it. This next pane, of course, is showing the carousel and how that kind of works really well for that. We are trying to create a blend between giving you a prominent area on the top that was just one single image as a hero, if you wanted to just have that, or if you wanted to have other subsections as well that would allow you to have, you know, kind of the carousel element incorporated. Below that, we're showing an example of the movies section, which is using the movie box art. In here, we've incorporated throughout the template to give you guys a better base to build off different asset sizes. So you're not stuck to just one. You can have the flexibility to kind of just like take it and run with it. In addition, and here is another carousel view as well incorporated in here. And then if we scroll down, showing just a typical one by one or, you know, a TV box art asset as well in a list view. And then below is the sneak peek that we wanted to give a lot of prominence, at least for the visual cue for what we displayed on this one for an inline video.
Okay, so
okay, so now we'll jump into Gallery. Gallery, to me, is really kind of the workhorse of an app. You know, it's that intense browsing, or, you know, generally you're kind of in the mode of, let me see what all my options are, you know. We looked at the use of it and wanted to make sure that we were giving greater flexibility, and right now we're illustrating just one of the asset types. But know that when we actually give out the sample to you, that we'll have guidance to help you guys as far as, you know, the many different asset types throughout. And the gallery consists of the following elements in there, one being the grid view. And then also there is the combo box. And you notice I have two elements laid on top of each other. One is referencing what will be used on mobile to PC, and the other one illustrates how it will actually look on Xbox. And when we jump into the demo, I can explain the differences and why we're catering it a little bit differently on that. So let's see. And it's 5, wait, 6. Okay, I'm remembering the numbers, you guys. They haven't listed as different stuff.
So I'm navigating the home page once again, and we're focusing on the gallery. So we have the See All button associated with the lists.
Now, as you see, you have a very common kind of place layout in what you would expect for most galleries. And we have incorporated, for the example of showing a PC, you can see how it kind of transitions and reflows appropriately as far as the amount of content that's there or boxes available. And we have the placement of the combo box, AKA filters, at the top. Those, of course, are sticky and work really well in the environment of a phone to PC scenario. So it's very commonplace, and it's great as far as just a base to get you started. We also have in there the title as well that you can kind of switch and cater appropriately.
Great. We'll switch to 4.
I'm kind of becoming your Vanna, I think, a little bit more, at least for button pushing.
So I'm going to navigate down on the app to the See All button for the new movies list running on phone. And so I will click See All here. And as Lynette mentioned, the filter and sort are sticky at the top. So as we scroll, they remain completely visible for, and, you know, obviously smaller. That's a single line. You know, no extra code to make this run on phone. As you saw when I was running it on PC, that's why I did it. As I shrunk the screen down, the wrap panel just reformatted the code down, or the UI down to the single lane, whether the single column rather, whether running on PC or running on phone. And now we'll switch to Xbox.
Thank you.
So here's the app running. Here is the same application running on Xbox. We'll spend more time on Xbox in a bit, but I just want to show the gallery.
Which, the reason that we went with this model is simply because of, if you don't mind me, I love grabbing controllers and playing with them. For the orientation, as far as being able to click through content, that you have an easy access point. There's only, you know, 3 actual items you have to bump over with your controller to be able to quickly access the filter. If we were to try to mirror how it is on PC, you run into some issues as far as having the lack of sticky headers, which means you have to incorporate some kind of button association to map to it to work appropriately. So just for ease of use, we went with this model just to get it out there for everyone to use more easily. But you know, as considerations and other additional options become available, of course, we'll roll out more models as well. Okay, now to run on to details. Yay. To me, the details is, oh, did I bump it? Sorry, pardon me. I'm jumping a little ahead on my controller. To me, the details page is really the information keeper or the oracle of a page in an app. It's kind of that final decision maker as far as for a user, and you know, if they want to make one of those split-second decisions on if it's a yes or a no, if they want to actually watch you know, content or move forward with something. So while it definitely gives the appearance of being more lightweight, it definitely, for majority of the time, is a heavy hitter and you know, holds a lot of content within it. And today I'm going to focus on showing you guys the TV details version. We do also have incorporated in this a movies detail, so you have the flexibility of either to repurpose. So in the details page itself, of course, you have a ratings incorporated in there, a text box control, as well as the push button, combo box, horizontal you know, list views incorporated, and we also incorporated in here the vertical list views. Now, the cool thing on the vertical list views is that we incorporated different options as far as the actual elements that build up the list. So you have both an image, one that can be utilized, as well as one that's just text itself, or one that incorporates numeral elements as well as a progression bar. So it gives you a little bit of greater flexibility as far as how you want to use those elements and incorporate them throughout. We'll jump into the demo on that one. Just number.
Let me get that right.
Oh, wait, I'm on.
All right. Here we go. All right. Let me scroll on down.
So as you can see, it has a prominent hero, of course, incorporated in there. We have the different elements as far as the rating. I'm going to try to use your mouse. Okay. I can do it. Okay. And then it also has, you know, your button control elements in there as well. Below that, we've put in incorporation of an actual episodes list. What's not shown in here and is getting currently built in there is the filter, so you're able to actually filter through content on the fly in the actual page versus having to drill down to a separate element. And you guys can use that for any possible list orientation you need. And then, of course, it's the list that I was talking about in vertical orientation shown here. And, of course, the additional list items represented in a 16:9 format as well as within a movie box art format.
So the one thing I wanted to wanted to mention as well is here is the creator section, which is wide for running on the desktop or the or Xbox One. So if we switch to 4 and we'll get to the phone. Let me hit back and scroll down to the TV section. Oops. I go back, hit play button there. Ah, thanks. What did I do? I think I hit something over here. Okay. There's a lot of buttons up here, a lot of demos going on, a lot of different platforms, so but bear with us for a second. Let me try this real quick, see if this works. Don't switch yet.
Do you want to try to show it in that one?
Yeah, don't switch yet.
Okay.
Let me see. Okay, let's switch to PC. So I have a backup. No worries. And here is the Contoso Meet application. I'll go back down to TVs. And it is not cooperating. Okay, I have a third backup. Hang with me. I'm determined to show you these demos. We will not relent until we get them up here. So let me have the emulator spun up. There we go. And I will, I'm gonna have to do a deploy to it, I think. So it might take a second. And what we can do is go to, okay, why is that button? Okay, I think you got me. Let's let Lynette continue, and I'll work on this a little bit, and then we'll pick it up.
I'm going to hope that's a good luck charm. I'm going to hope that means that everything else is going to go great. We'll have one little snafu. Okay. Well, I took the phone out of it. I was excited to show them.
I know. We're going to show it. We're going to show it.
Okay. We'll just change it around. Okay, so we'll jump into media transport controls then. Okay. So the media transport control, of course, is the foundation of a, and key most important element of a app of the sort, being that it's a media type, is kind of a no-brainer. You kind of got to have that, otherwise it's not really a media app at all. We looked at a lot of different media transport controls that were out there from other applications, as well as what's been ingested for Xbox, as well as other Windows devices, and wanted to make sure that we were providing the best thing for you guys throughout the system. So I'm really happy to tell you that instead of having just one actual media transport control type, we're actually giving you two baked into the same item. So you have a single line media transport control, which means it has the buttons and the scrubber, then additional buttons, as well as a double line media transport control, which means that you have the actual scrubber on top and the buttons below it, which gives greater flexibility depending on the environment you're trying to design for and what you're trying to cover as far as needs. So within the app sample, our hero has been the double line, so I'm going to go through a little bit of the actual controls that are baked in there, or elements in there, that you guys can use and how to use them appropriately. So, of course, we have the time scrubber. Now, the time scrubber, we want to make sure you guys can actually incorporate branding within there. So the line that's indicated to the left there that's in red, you can actually change according to whatever you need for your brand. If you want to choose to use it the way it's based on the actual Windows platform where they're using user color, that's totally fine. But if you want to customize and make it exclusively pertain to your actual brand, we're giving you the freedom to do that. In addition to that, which is not illustrated in here, we've incorporated in for live feeds. So the placement of the line to the right of it, it will actually load in to indicate with a little bit darker gray bar, and then a lighter one will come over it to show as far as what the actual live broadcast has been incorporated in there. We also have the timestamp, which is a no-brainer. We all kind of need that in order for media transport control to work. And also, we have buttons incorporated in here. We've instilled within the actual code placement of spaces in between the different buttons so that you have the flexibility to add additional buttons as you need per your actual application, as well as the customization to be able to change them accordingly to what you need. There's a base set that's baked in there, which you can freely use as well. And another element is the post roll. Getting a lot of feedback that a lot of people wanted one, or at least the guidance or something to help, and we're happy to tell you, you also get a post roll baked in there as well that you can use freely for what you need. Okay. Is this still not working?
No, we're good.
Okay,
we're good.
Good. Yeah. Yay, we're cooking with gas. Okay. So let's jump in and look. Do you want to look at the other one?
Yeah, we'll do media transfer control on the PC. So we can switch to
six.
Yep. All right. So I just want to say, this is Lynette's favorite video of all time. She loves this video. We use this video because who's built an Xbox app in their time as a developer or past time? A few hands up. So you've seen me demo this video before, but the reason why we use it, it's a nice short video. It's Microsoft content. If you want to, you can navigate and pick
okay.
up. Yeah. Let me let me go back. Let me play again. You can do it.
Because I love this video so much. I really do. All the mammals. My favorite is the horses. And anyways, so as you see, we have the cool, nice animation that kind of plays in here for the element actually coming in. You have your buttons set here. The way the buttons actually build in is from center outward. In the future, we'll be getting a .. more incorporated in there too, so you have an actual spillover menu containment that you can add additional elements as well. The flexibility in this too, from if you're going from phone, of course, you have five items that are actually listed underneath for the double stack. Single, of course, is, if I recall, three, just based on sizing, if you go with the most minimal size of an actual phone. And then, of course, it kind of extends and grows outward to the max amount that you can have actually incorporated in there based on the device. And then the spillover, you know, of course, contains logically through that. So here's the buttons kind of highlighted in that as well. We'll jump to it.
You can just click too.
Oh, I can't. We also have thumbnail. I didn't illustrate that before. We do also have thumbnail scrubber as well that we're baking in too, so you guys can actually access that as well. So there'd be a thumbnail, as well as if you just want the tag for the actual scrubber as well. That happens every time.
There we go.
You get to the end. And then, of course, here's just showing you as far as the title of the next one in queue, as well as the amount of time remaining for the items and the, you know, additional items that a person might want to actually, you know, leverage or use and watch.
That's right. Great. Now, real quick, I'm going to switch to the phone so we can just take a quick look at this. Fantastic. Thank you. All right, so this is the fifth backup. I just want you to know, had another phone up here, so we came well prepared. And remember, it's to set the context, we were talking about the creator section, right, on TV details on PC mm-hmm. and how it went wide, and then on TV, if I dive into the TV details, because of the relative panel and the visual state triggers the creator's cast and critics' review sections just reflow as you would expect on phone. And we'll get back to the slides.
Okay.
All right. All right.
So after seeing all these really great pieces of the sample, I want to open it up to you guys as far as where you guys want to actually take it. You know, there's endless possibilities as far as how this actually can be leveraged. You could use it as an actual TV or movie app, media app, you know, and get many users to want to actually go there as their first place. Or you could actually turn it into a creative marketplace that sells and inspires to crafty creators, you know, with the potential to have fans who might be really into retro mint green typewriters as well. Or you could create an education app that really brings the joy of a new language to someone, or even creates the opportunity to enhance someone to have better habits in their life, or even the opportunity to just create something social that someone will use across all the different devices. Ultimately, it's really up to you. It's all possible, and I really can't wait to see where you guys take it.
Awesome. Thank you, Lynette. Okay, so as Lynette mentioned, we've been working together very closely over the past few months as a developer design team focused on this template. And so, you know, my question was, wow, when I first saw those designs, I mean, there's a low bar, and there's a high bar, and then there's the netter bar, as we affectionately call Lynette when we're working together. High bar that Lynette sets in her designs. And so we tackled these both in WinJS and XAML. I focus on WinJS because I've been working with it quite a bit previously with Xbox, and Hans Hoogli in the audience focused on the XAML version, and we collaborated together to build these applications. So one of the questions you want to ask is, you know, as we're thinking about tackling this, we're like, man, you know, Universal Windows Platform sounds awesome. But then it gets real when you're sitting at Visual Studio and you're looking at all these platforms and you're thinking, man, you know, it is almost a little bit intimidating, but as you've probably learned in all of your sessions being at Build, you've heard about it, you've seen it Build, all the great technology that the Universal Windows Platform has for you to make this as easy as possible. We've had some dev nodes as we've gone along, and we're going to just drive into that a little bit more. But as a developer, you have several questions, like how do you think about your app? How do you structure your app? You have the Universal Windows Platform, which works, is guaranteed to work across all Universal Windows you have the Universal Windows Platform APIs, is what I'm trying to say. You have the APIs that will work all across all of the Universal Windows Platform device form factors. Plus your idea, and you're ready to build your, how do you organize that? Really, how do you package it? You know, some of the questions that you might ask are, do you build a separate app for every platform? That's one way to go. Do you try to build a single app across that works all across platforms? Sounds hard, but you know, as I've learned in my experience, and as Hans has learned in working on the XAML version, you know, it's not as hard as it has been in the past for sure with the Universal Windows Platform. Okay, great. Go through. So you have a lot of options. I think by default you might want to consider, you know, your app should be one binary, that one UWP package that runs across the entire platform. You definitely want to decouple the app from the OS. You want to be able to have your app run and degrade gracefully when it needs to if a user happens to be on an older version of Windows 10, and you want it to degrade positively, or not degrade, but improve positively and enable and light up new features that you've added on the target more recent versions of the Windows 10 platform. And we're going to dive into it a little bit here. You also want to take advantage of the device-specific sections. Sure, the APIs that run across all of the platforms, it's a great capability, and it really simplifies your life tremendously. But you still, you know, want to build that best experience. We want to all meet the Netterbar and build an application that works great with the default platform and takes advantage of each of the features that the platforms offer. And we'll dive into some more examples here in just a second. The Media App Sample is a single app. There's a WinJS version that will run across the platform. It's the same for XAML, C#. You notice we had it pre-deployed on the phones as backups. But you know, when I hit run, I was in here switching to the emulator, switching to the device. It's the same set of code just running across the platform. We try to build it as real as possible for two reasons. One, Hans and I, we provide feedback to the engineering feature team and platform owners and give them feedback as we're building and learning, and we're learning together. And two, we want to, you know, really test it out so that when you get these samples that they're samples, non-production code, but they're as real as possible, or as real as we can, you know, get it into a sample without adding a lot of complexity of like backends and things like that. So responsive UI techniques for XAML. We have the adaptive controls, as you probably have attended in previous sessions, where I think the intro to the XAML session was a great session where the presenter showed a context menu invoked by a mouse. The context menu looked like your standard Windows context menu. Without doing anything in the app, if he used his finger to touch the screen, the context menu, when it displayed based on touch, it was bigger font, a little bit more space around it. You get that all for free as part of the, or as not as free, but as part of the Universal Windows Platform APIs that we've built for you. You also have relative panel, which is what we demonstrated with the creator section, how it automatically reflowed the UI based on which platform you're running on. You use the design states to have breaks at, say, 720p, so that when your application is running on a tablet that has maybe a few less pixels, that your app runs really well on that layout and sort of reflows the content as needed. We also, on the platform, we have common input handling. As I mentioned in the context menu sample, you don't have to use a different control or do anything as a developer to support touch. You just get it with the platform. Same with Xbox. The controller, as you saw us using the controller, interacting with the same controls, the same code, the same APIs on Xbox, and it just worked. Now, we do have some non-production code in the Xbox version just to enable it and be able to show it to you today and where we're going and where we're thinking. But when we ship, we will have that all built in for you. Some responsive UI techniques for JavaScript. The Project Spartan, I meant to update my slide, but the Edge browser essentially is the engine for the JavaScript applications that run on the Universal Windows platform. So you get all the great benefits that the Edge browser provides. It's essentially the browser control hosted in a process. As I mentioned, all the Xbox One apps today are WinJS apps, and also many media platforms across other platforms and other devices are also JavaScript-based. It's very common for media development to be web-based, and so for media application, it's particularly useful to have it in the JavaScript HTML and CSS3. So things you get to take advantage of with the web programming model for Windows. And I don't want to say WinJS too much because I don't want you to think you have to use WinJS. You do not. I've done development on Xbox with the web development model available there and leveraged jQuery, Knockout.js. You can add voice commands to simple HTML5 elements by just pulling in a little bit of WinJS. So do think of WinJS as just another framework that you leverage, like you leverage jQuery. So do keep that in mind. You can use the very different web frameworks. Let's see. So responsive UI techniques for APIs, and this works across both XAML and the web programming model. So yes, in the web programming model, you have the full Windows runtime APIs available to you. You can build C# and XAML. You can build a C# or C++ Windows runtime library and call that from a JavaScript library, your JavaScript app. You can also have your JavaScript app listen to events from C# or C++ Windows runtime library. So that's why I just have a single slide here, because it works across all of the UI development platforms that we have. So you take advantage of the responsive UI techniques with APIs when you want to build the best experience possible for the given platform. Now, on a Windows application, you'll have a back button on the screen in the upper left-hand corner. Well, on Windows Phone, you have less pixels, you have less screen real estate. You don't want to have a virtualized, if you can avoid it, not have a back button on screen. You have the hardware back button. So one of the common examples that you'll hear probably heard it maybe potentially in other sessions, depending on what sessions you attended, is that you check for the API for the hardware back button, and if it's there, don't show the back button control, just take advantage of the hardware button that's built on the platform. I give an Xbox example. On Xbox, we have the One Guide. If you've played with app channels, or if you've played with the live channel features and whatnot with the One Guide, that is a great feature for a media application, which is what we're talking about today. So you probably want to pull in those APIs and use those and enable and light up those features when you are running your application, your media application on Xbox. So by checking for the presence of a type in your code allows your app to run effectively across all the platforms and kind of target and maintain that goal of having your single application work on each platform and be optimized and be the best experience for each platform. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time on a media player control because this is a media application. We have the XAML control that wraps the media element on WinJS, or I should say the web programming model. The web programming model wraps the video tag and provides a lot of features. And really, this is one of the times or one of the places where you would probably want to use WinJS in your web programming model-based Windows Universal Windows app. The reason why is because there's a lot of code in the media player. There's a lot of functionality that Lynette covered. And so we kind of build all that for you. And that's a great example where, hey, maybe I will, even though I love maybe jQuery or jQuery UI or Knockout.js or all the great web programming frameworks out there. I'm just going to leverage the WinJS framework to say get media playback to just to work really, really well in the programming model. The Media Player Control provides all the features of a premium media application experience that you could leverage in a news app. A lot of news video in news apps is huge. It's not just text. We'd like to watch what's going on with video when it comes to the news. So don't just think that this applies to the media application, as Lynette had mentioned as well. So there's over 20 media commands. It supports commands. It supports all the inputs that you would expect it to support, and thumb-based scrumming. It's completely templatized, customized, and themed both the Xamarin version and the WinJS version of the control. Little bit on the video pipeline, just to touch on it for completeness. And there's great sessions that you should attend to deep dive into this, to dedicate it to the video pipeline. So I won't dive into it too deeply, just to highlight that we do have in the platform HLS, we have MPEG-4 Dash, and others can be added through third parties, or you can write yourself to provide support. So just a quick overview on what's available. There are definitely more. If you don't see a Kodak or a format that you know is supported, just because I didn't make it a complete eye chart. So if you have questions on it, feel free to come up after the session or attend the other sessions that really deep dive into what we support. All right, so we do have the media app sample. We've been demoing it as we've gone through. I'm going to spend a little bit of time with it and also just explain to you some of the ways, like from a developer perspective, on how the template can help you out. So make the media app sample your own. Sort of our theme is, what do I do to get this template running and working? So I'm going to switch to my PC. All right, looks good. So we've demoed it quite a bit, so which is great because I've kind of set the context. You've seen the app work. You've seen Lynette interact with it, talk to you about it. So I don't really have to do that part. I'm going to focus in on, our sort of our philosophy with these samples and how we want to approach them. So here is the media app template example. This happens to be the WinJS version, but the Xamarin version will be designed the same way where, I just want to make, I only want to change it as much as I need to sort of get it up and running and to sort of show it to my management. And I'm going to customize it. I'm going to relay out the tiles. I'm going to, make it really, really beautiful for what your designer's designed for is what you'll be able to do with it. So I'm just going to run it real quick. This version of it. So that's the version that you've been seeing. Now I'm going to switch to another version. What I did was I essentially grabbed the GDC RSS feed from the from Channel 9 from the 2015 GDC event. And I'm just going to run this here. And I left some of the old content in place just so you can see. Let me get through my breakpoints here. There we go. I was walking through my demo and I had my breakpoints going, so we shall see it run here in a second. So here it is. So here's the same app that we've been demoing. I can, you see the queue still there. Of course, we want to remove that for Channel 9. Here is the, you'd want to maybe rename the carousel from movies to more focused on web video. Web video is a little bit simpler than your sort of for media app. But you can see here, the carousel works. It shows a different episode. The animation works for the title, and it sort of does what you expect it to do. The list, again, if you navigate the list and go into it, if you go to a browse page, we'll see, hey, the browse page just kind of worked, and all the content is listed there. How much work did I have to do to make this happen? That's what we're going to talk about in a second. And this is, again, our approach for both platforms. And then if I select an item, if I scroll down, I'll pick an item off of the list here. And there's the details page. So again, I left some of it in here. I only spent about 20 minutes to make this happen. It wasn't a lot of time at all. But this would obviously, you would just remove this hub section from it, the trailers. Again, all the lists are just populated. So what did it take to build this out? So what we did is we try to isolate the app sample as much as possible from like our code. And that was something we did with Xbox One, and we're bringing it forward to the universal Windows platform when we built out these samples, is that we wanted you to be able to just get it up and running. You're not going to ship that. We know that. But you just want to get it up and running and get a feel for the platform and learn the platform as fast as possible. And so with that, what I did was I added a helper class. This helper class, all it does is just send, it'll do a get or a post. It's just a sample kind of idea. And so I just call this class, usually for your APIs, you're going to have standard headers and cookies and, you know, authentication and things that you want to add to every web call. So you just kind of isolate the calls. But at the end of the day, it's just calling XHR, which is a XML HTTP request call in JavaScript. And so when you see this code here, channel9.data.services, all it's doing is calling XHR under the covers. So I'm going to go to the My App Data Provider. Now, the data for the sample, it's all baked into the sample to keep it simple, light, usable, fast. And you can run it on an airplane if you don't have Wi-Fi on your plane or if you're not connected. If I go to the data.js, the data generally just comes from this file. So it's just a bunch of JSON. So featured movie data, sample, sneak, TV, episodes, et cetera, et cetera. So to show you that, because what I did was I took the data provider and I added the channel 9 dot data, dot services, dot send get requests to the URL for the RSS feed. I get back, so it's an RSS feed, so it's not JSON. It's not ideal. JSON is faster. It's faster to parse. Most data feeds are RSS. But I show you XML just to give you an idea of how the data provider data model works. And so we make the call. The promise comes back. The async request essentially comes back. We get the feed data. Let me set a breakpoint here. This is where I want to show the breakpoints. So we hit the breakpoint. Let me get to it. Oh, there it is. Okay. So I hit the breakpoint. So here's the, I have the JavaScript window. Let me just clear all this out. So if I hit F10, I do feed, oops. That's one thing that's kind of cool with JavaScript is you can just code while you're running the app, which is pretty awesome. I, by the way, I'm a huge XAML guy. I love XAML. I did XAML for Windows Phone for 3 years. I did XAML for Xbox 360, and co-authored a few books on the topic, too. So, hey, I love XAML and C#. It's awesome, and we will have this for that version. But this particular sample was a little far along in terms of this architecture, so that's why I'm showing it to you in JavaScript. But it's always good to see more. So here's the feed data. If I dump it into the JavaScript console, you'll see that it's an array of nodes. I can expand the nodes. I can see what I'm getting back here. And what I'm getting, if I kind of scroll down, you can kind of see it's basically the RSS feed parsed out as a node. So what I'm going to do next is if I scroll up on the data provider just a little bit, you'll see the movie section of the data provider has a data model declared. What happens is I call the RSS feed, I get the 14 items from the RSS feed back. I just did the double quotes thing, didn't I? All right, sorry about that. Anyway, I did the double quotes thing. So we got the 14 items for the RSS feedback. Each item is a little set chunk of RSS XML. And what I do is, with the data model that's declared here, for each item, the data model is applied to that item. And what that item does is it takes the XML and turns it into JSON. So we have a sort of standard JSON data model, if you will, that we use in the media template. It helps us light up features for the platform, for the different platforms. And so what we do is we convert you would use a data model to convert your feed information into this data model that runs within the app. And then the idea is that things just sort of light up, like parental controls on Xbox One. That's what we do today on Xbox One, and we would bring that forward to the Universal Windows platform. So I will now open up the data model for movies. Let me grab that. Notice I haven't touched a page yet. Just remember that. I showed you the demo. I showed you what it does. I haven't touched a page yet. So I'm going to go into the, there are the data models. And I will scroll up to description. So I'm just going to set breakpoint here. So when you think of item, when you see me hit this breakpoint, when I hit the breakpoint, this is one of those 15 RSS items. So I'm going to clear this out again. Clear console. I'm just going to dump the item into the JavaScript JavaScript console. If I scroll up, you'll see descriptions right there. So it's kind of how I coded it up. I'll write up an item. I'll say query selector. And then I'll just throw in description in there. And let's see what we get back. So what do we get back? We get back a little chunk of XML. Well, I don't want the angle bracket stuff, so I want to get rid of that. So let me just go ahead and then try text context. If I head type text to see what's available, I have the text content property, and I dumped, I forgot those pesky periods. All right, now let me dump this in. Now I'm kind of where I'm at. I got the description text. Now, still not perfect. I probably want to parse out the P tag for the paragraph on HTML since I'm parsing an XML field, but you get the idea. So that's what essentially the data model does. A little bit more complex for images. So it's an RSS item. It may not have a thumb of every size for every item. It's just web RSS. So for the featured image, which is the big image that you see on the featured page or the carousel, we try to use the largest image possible. So again, I just do a little query selectors to get in there. But it's not really super important other than to remember that all I'm doing is taking XML, turning it into this standard JSON model, and that's all I do to get this to work. There's no other coding required. The reason why is we just stick to our metadata model. If you follow that pattern, then everything just works. I don't have to touch any of the pages. I don't have to get into any of the code on the pages to kind of just get it working. And then once you have it working, from there, you make it the best experience on the platform. Awesome. So, call to action. Let's take it off.
You want me to take it off?
Yeah, you take it off.
Okay. So definitely, if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can with the UWP design. Please fill out the session survey as we had indicated earlier in there. And I'm going backwards, which is fun. you can, of course, review the other sessions that are available on Channel 9 that were provided. And then, we look forward to you guys building amazing experiences within the UWP.
Thank you very much for your attention and for attending us this afternoon. Thank you. We're definitely taking questions, unless for those who aren't trying to run off and catch a flight. thanks for showing up. If you have a question, go ahead and step up to the mic. Feel free to do so. And we'll also be in the expert zone for about an hour or so after this session. So the samples, we're still building them. As you probably noticed, they are definitely UI. We haven't met the netter bar quite yet, so we're cleaning the code up. The goal is to have these as soon as possible after build. We will have them before launch. We're targeting May, just a little bit later in May. Yeah, what I would do is you can follow us on Twitter, UWP Design. We'll post it there. We'll have it posted where all the other samples are posted for Windows 10 up on GitHub. Thank you.